Good morning, everybody. It is Pastor Lenny.
And Pastor Lori.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so blessed to be with you this morning, this day. And we're finally seeing some warm weather.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the upper 60s and low 70s this week. Pretty pumped, pretty excited for that. We like taking walks and just enjoying the budding trees, the blooming trees. And so this is a great time of the year. But we want to let you know how much we love and appreciate each and every one of you. We mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Your encouragement, right?
Amen.
Their encouragement has just blessed us so much. The receiving of this message, our lane, you can, you are, and you have the true gospel of grace with no additives.
That's a good one.
With no additives. And your words of encouragement and how this message is blessing you. And you guys mean so much to us. You're so very important to us. And we're so grateful and thankful for all the communications. And we don't take what we share lightly. Mm-hmm. We don't take you guys lightly. You're very important to us. You know, we're just not sitting here behind a camera and, putting out messages. No, we are so grateful that we're getting to know a lot of you. Hope that we get to know a lot more, you know, make this personal. You're our family now, and we love you. And thank you for your offerings also, your financial gifts. You keep this ministry going. We're so grateful that you listen to Daddy God and you're led by grace to bless this ministry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you have any thank yous you want to say or share? Or
I thank you that you're the hand of God extended, God's hand extended.
Me?
Them.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Oh, that's good, Pastor Lori. You are God. That is so good. We are so grateful because you are God's hand extended, his love extended to us. That's so good. You know, because so many people say, oh, you bless us so much. You're such a blessing. You know, but that was powerful. And I missed it. Woo! Because you guys are the blessing to us. And we mean that. So I think we're going to finish out our sessions from 1 John chapter 3. We were doing the first nine verses because they're just so oft misunderstood. And we're trying to show you how to rightly divide and how, you know, translations are not perfect. And translations many times hide the truth of what was supposed to be,
what was really meant to said. Be.
Right, right. And filters. The filters are so important. I am, I have, and I can. And the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, with no additives.
No, I like that.
With no additives. Like ivory soap. No, ivory soap was 99.99% pure. Sure. What was that 0.01%?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Well, Paul's gospel is not 99.99%, you know, grace. It's 100% grace. There's no additives. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. So if you're reading something that indicates it's about you or it's up to you or you need to do or, you know, or calling you less than what God would call you, which is just like Jesus Christ, exactly like Jesus Christ, it's not the gospel of grace.
Amen.
So we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3. And if you need to catch up, go back and catch up. We have a playlist on 1 John chapter 3, the teachings we've been doing, and I know it will greatly encourage you. So Pastor Lori is going to read these awesome, wonderful verses from the King James Version of the Bible.
King James.
And she's going to be reading 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
It's pretty good, huh?
It is.
So, if you sin, you're of the devil. If you sin, you're of the devil. What in the world? What do you think that's really meaning?
Sin is from the devil. But then verse 9 does go on to say, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
But anyway, that's good news, though. He that committeth sin is of the devil. You know, sometimes when you see the word devil, okay, it's important to understand that it could be talking about the person of the devil. Or it could be talking about a mindset.
Okay, mindset. Can see that.
The fallen mindset. And one of the things about Satan is he will try and convince you that you're something other than what God has told you you are. So he'll try to put you in a position of an inferior mindset. Okay? Good so far?
That's, yep.
Okay. So now, think about it. Devil. It could just simply mean the wrong mindset. The fallen mindset. Think back to the garden. He came. He was a decorated angel at one time. Okay? But he came, and what did he cause Adam and Eve to do? To question. To challenge the mindset that God had established them in.
Wow.
God established them and wanted them to stay established and remain established in the mindset and of the fact that they were just like God.
Wow.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So now here comes the traducer. Here comes the accuser. Here comes the deceiver. Here comes the deception. Did God really say? Has God really told you, declared that you are righteous, that you are holy, that you are unblameable, that you are sanctified, that you are perfect? Has God really said that you are just like Jesus Christ? Well, yes, he did. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, it says, you know, for whom God foreknew, he determined that they would be conformed into the exact image and likeness of his son. And whom God called, he justified, declared righteous. And who he declared righteous, he glorified. Okay? So yes, God, you know, he did try to establish us in the right mindset. So now the enemy comes to get us off the truth of who we are, what we have, and what we can do.
It's so subtle.
So this is what John is saying here. Because the word sin there, and we're going to see two words for sin, one in verse 8 and one in verse 9. The first word for sin is hamartano, okay? And that is the verb form of the sin. So.
So he that committeth.
Hamartano. The
sin
action.
Is of the devil.
Verb. What makes a verb a verb?
Action.
Action. Right. Action. So if you're committing the action of sin, it's of the devil. What does that mean? It's of your fallen mindset. It's not of your true mindset. This is why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you need to become renewed in your mind, renewed in your understanding, so that the transformation can become completed in your life. But you see, when we're told things like you're not, you can't, and you don't have, you're still a sinner, you know, when we're not dressed properly by preachers and teachers, then we can find ourselves living under the inferior mindset, the fallen mindset, the mindset that comes from the devil, the diablo. In fact, this word here is diabolos. Okay, it's not diablo, it's not the person. So it's signifying the wrong mindset and belief system.
Which makes a whole lot more sense.
Exactly. And so when you are taught new creation realities and you adhere to them and you believe them, you will become transformed. And there will be no harmartano. There will be no action of sin. And you won't be living in the fallen mindset. You will be living in your new creation realities.
Nice.
This is what this verse is telling you. And it's totally consistent with the understandings and the teachings of Paul in his letters. I was going to say in his gospel. Well, he did take ownership of it. He said, it's my gospel.
That's true.
We take ownership of this, don't we?
We do. Amen.
It's our gospel.
We are.
Amen. Yeah. You have to make this your gospel. So now that's verse 8. Now let's look at verse 9. Could you read verse 9? Oh, wait. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the workings of the devil. The workings of the devil. Here we go again. Diabolos, right? Wrong mindsets. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And we, right? And we're never going to live in that life more abundantly if we don't start believing correctly. The Father said, who I called, I declared righteous. And who I declared righteous, I glorified. What does that mean? I glorified. That means I have set them in a position and in a place where my belief about them and my mind towards them is the same belief and the same mind as it is towards Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Okay. They are glorified. Jesus came, right? He came. And it says, we've been united with him. We've been united with him. We've been planted with him. We've been buried with him. We've been raised with him, with him, with him, with him. One of the things I did, I don't know, about 12 years ago, was I went through Paul's writings and I looked up all the verses that said in him, right? Also in Christ, also with him, also with Christ, also through him, also through Christ. And you have to, you'd be amazed at how many scriptural references there are in, with, through, him, Christ. It's over 150.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
This is why the Son of God was manifested, so that you become born again, born anew, born of God, born of the Spirit, for those who receive Jesus Christ. God has given the right, the power, the ability, and the authority to be his children to as many as believed in him, who were born not of blood, nor of man, nor the will of man, but who were born of God, born from above. This is how the works, the mindset, the wrong thinking, okay, fallen mindset, inferior mindsets, this is how they become smashed in you and in your life. And that, I love when she smiles at me. And that is when you attain to the belief and understanding that as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Anything you want to add to that?
No. That is awesome.
I know your mind is going right now.
I want to stay right there in that spot.
I want to stay. That is beautiful. I
just want to stay there.
Do you know what that's called, Pastor Lori?
Renewing the mind?
Yeah, yeah. Else?
What?
Abiding in Christ.
Oh, I love it. I want to abide in Christ.
You shared something in church the other day about where you're found and where you're hid.
I'm hidden in Christ with the Father in a fortress.
Amen.
Nothing can penetrate.
She got that verse from Colossians, how we are hid. We are, that's another one of the in verses. I am in Christ.
In Christ.
And this is what he came to do. and that's destroy the mindset, the belief systems of the evil one and the enemy. And this is why it's so important. And this is why I keep exhorting you to be careful what you hear. You cannot hear messages that tell you you're not, or you don't have, or you can't do, you're not believing, you're not standing, you don't have authority, because that will continue you in being in the wrong mindset. You need to be convinced you are, you can, and you have. So let's look at verse 9. Why don't you read that again, Pastor Lori?
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Wow. Whoever is born of God, right? To as many as believed in him, God gave the right, the power, the ability, and the authority to be his child. As many as believed in Jesus, who were not born of man, but who were born of God, born from above, right? Born of the Spirit. That's from the same author, John. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. So he's saying, whoever is born of God doth not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. There's that word sin again. We've seen it in verse 8, and now we're seeing it again in verse 9. But in verse 9, it's not hermartano, it's hermarthia.
Okay.
Hermarthia is the noun. And what's a noun?
Person, place, or thing.
Yeah, you could say it out loud, you know.
Person, place, or thing.
Yeah, she doesn't know where I'm going some of the times. And we don't always talk about what we're going to talk about. Sometimes it just comes. It's true. It's the noun. So what is this talking about? This is talking about the old man, the old nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old nature has passed away. It's done away. It's gone. Behold, the new nature, the very nature of God now exists. That's how you exist. You were planted with him in his death. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. You were planted with him in his death. And so too were you planted with him, which means united with him in his resurrection, newness of life, totally righteous, totally pure, totally perfect. So this is what this is talking about. The real you, the new you, the true you. It's impossible. <That's good. laughs> Cannot sin. Well, then why do we sin, Pastor? Why do we sin, Pastor Lenny? Why do we sin, Pastor Lori?
We haven't renewed our minds to all of this.
There you go. Because we haven't destroyed in our own souls the works of the enemy, the works of the devil, the works of the fallen mindsets that tells us we're not, we can't, and we don't have. That's how powerful this portion of scripture is if you rightly divide it. And you see, I was talking to Pastor Lori just before about how I took my power walk this morning and I was worshiping, praising the Lord, and he was giving me a message. He always gives me a message. But one of the things he was talking about is Allison calls you up, right? And she gets real excited over just about every new development with our grandson Wilder. Mm-hmm. And what's, just tell me one of those new developments that we talked about.
Oh, he's eating.
He's eating, right?
He's eating some food.
And she sends us the videos and shows us he's eating solid food. Look, he's eating solid food. You know, when he's making a mess on that, I don't know what that's called that she puts the food on, but he's eating it and he's liking it. I forgot what the other day was he was putting in his mouth and he was eating, wasn't it?
Leaves. That wasn't
it. No, not leaves. I'm talking about the food part.
The food part.
But we get so excited. Meat. He's eating food himself. He's eating meat. Mm-hmm. All right? And you see, that's what we have to do. We have to teach people how to eat meat so that we can be excited because they're eating meat. God wants us to eat meat. And what's the meat of his word? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Righteousness. Righteousness. We're not teaching, well, Pastor Lori and I are, teaching his children how to properly eat, how to feed themselves. Feed themselves what? Feed themselves with the fact and the truth of the matter that they're righteous. That they're righteous. And then, you know, this is going to be a while, but we know that our children, as they grew, we got excited over it. What's the other thing we talked about?
Walking?
No, not walking. They were getting dressed.
Oh, dressed. Oh, right.
Right? That day comes where, oh, Dad, you know, Allison put on her own socks and her own shoes, tied her own shoes. Allison got dressed herself, or Brandon got dressed. We get so excited when our children get dressed. We talked about the fact that which one of us would want to walk out of the door knowing that we're not dressed? None of us. None of us. And you know what? If you don't walk out your doors dressed, you're naked. You're naked. And you're susceptible to all the elements and to the evil one, right? The diabolos, the evil fallen mindset. So this is why God wants us to get dressed. He said, get dressed. Paul said, get dressed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 and 23. Well, how do we get dressed? Get dressed. Before you go outside, get dressed. First thing you do in the morning is get dressed. Get dressed. Well, how do we get dressed? Put on your new man. Put on the new man. Put on what is inside you. That new man. Put it on. Put what on? Who, after Jesus Christ, has been created in true holiness and true righteousness. Get dressed with your true holiness and your true righteousness. Then when you walk out, you'll be ready. If it's raining, you got a raincoat on. If it's cold, it's snowing, you got a winter parka. Nothing is going to affect you because you're rightly dressed. The evil one is not going to affect you. His works are going to be destroyed in your life because you have the right mindset. You have the right belief system. You have been dressed with your true holiness and your true righteousness. You know, the question is, are we capable of sinning? Well, until our minds are renewed, yeah. And they're blips on our radar screen. And that's all we want to keep them as blips on our radar screen because we want to be rightly dressed. But I want you to know something. Be born of God. Born of God. You know, God sees. What God sees is he sees the new inner man. That's what God sees. And so here we go again. Do you mean God doesn't see sin? You mean God's not aware of sin? That's not the question we should ask. And we're asking the wrong question. And as long as you keep asking that question, you're going to keep giving strength to sin. Okay, here you're going on a spot. What are the things we should really center our minds on? What are the things that, you know, what's God aware of? Is he aware of sin or is he aware of something else? What is God aware of?
He's aware that we're in Christ. He's aware of Christ.
Okay.
What Christ did.
There you go. That's what God's aware of. He's not aware of sin. He's not. Sins and iniquities he remembers no more. We have to start thinking godly thoughts. We have to start thinking the way God would think. Okay. What is God, you know, thinking about? What is God fixed on? You know, what is God taking notice of? Or what did God take notice of? He takes notice of what Jesus did, what Jesus accomplished, what Jesus finished at the cross. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. He was pleased to crush him and bruise him. He was pleased because through his sacrifice, through his righteous sacrifice, you know, the many would be made righteous. So this is what God is focused on. God is focused on what Jesus did, what Jesus accomplished, what Jesus finished, what Jesus launched us into when we believe in him through faith. That's what God's mindset is all about. Mm. You know, if we started preaching right and speaking right and talking right, you know, well, does God see sin? That's not the question we should be asking. What does God see? God sees what Jesus did. God sees what Jesus accomplished. God sees the fact of the matter that Jesus came to destroy the workings of the devil. And so with that, you know, we're going to finish up our session from 1 John chapter 3. And, you know, hopefully by now, you'll see the importance of believing right and having the right the mindsets and the right belief systems. Is there anything you want to add? Anything you want to say?
I like the way it ends. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. We're in Jesus.
Amen. Imagine if we taught right. Mm-hmm. And so as we leave, I just want to thank you guys for making this book a hit. And based upon the questions and comments that we get, I highly encourage you to get a copy of our book. It's available on Amazon. The two greatest forces in the life of a believer: love and righteousness. Make sure you get a copy. And after you read it, I know you're going to like it. I know it's going to bless you. I know it's going to springboard you into the miraculous. Go back and leave a review. And the other thing I want to remind you of is Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I have been blessed and graced with the opportunity from Butch and Julianne Hartman to be the guest teacher of the month of April from Healing Journeys Today. Please make sure you tune in on either Facebook or YouTube and watch those teachings. Fridays, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you watch. And again, I want to say thank you to Julianne and Butch Hartman. We love you, and we'll see you again in a couple of days.